Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the epistle reading. That's drawn from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." This is God's word. I'd like to start with a simple idea. There it is. What you know your future to be changes your present. There are any number of ways to apply this principle. I know of someone who's going through a change of vocation. On his Facebook page, he has a countdown of how many days are left at his old job, with a happy little cartoon cat walking out of a bag. Get it? Cat's out of the bag. What he knows his future to be has changed his present. There's an attitude of anticipation and excitement because he knows what's coming next. Or let's say that two people are offered the same job. It's hard work. First person is promised $1,000 a month. Second person is told they'll receive $1 million a month. Same exact job. Which person is going to find more joy in their task? Of course, the $1 million a month worker is going to be whistling all day long. Why? Because what we know our future to be changes our present. This is true in obvious ways, like that example, and also in ways that might not be so obvious because they run so deep. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul contrasts two worldviews, two ways of looking at life, two ways of navigating the twists and turns of existence. And what's stunning is that these ancient viewpoints haven't gone anywhere. This clash of philosophies is utterly modern and relevant. What we know our future to be changes our present and governs our behavior. So what are these conflicting perspectives? Well, let's see. In verse 32 of chapter 15, Paul quotes the first worldview, which says, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Down through the ages, that has continued to serve as a popular philosophy, and you've heard it expressed in slightly different ways. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Here's another variation on it. You only live once, and when you're dead, you're done, so let the good times roll. These days, it's been reduced to an acronym, YOLO. You only live once. And the idea is the same. The idea is to grab as much life experience as you can for yourself, because why? Because this life is the only chance you've got. And what's implied, at the very least, is that there are no rules to this grabbing of experience except what seems right to you. The second worldview is captured in verse 22. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." This viewpoint says that physical death is not the end of a human being. A person who lives in a faith connection with Jesus lives forever. And someday that forever life will include an imperishable, resurrected body. And this is, of course, the central claim of the Christian faith. So do you see how these two perspectives clash? You only live once is ancient and at the same time completely modern. It's built on the presumption that when you die, it's just the end. Game over. Your chance for fun is done. Christian faith is built on the presumption that whoever lives and believes in Jesus Christ will never die. And since what you believe your future to be changes your present, these two belief systems produce ways of life. They produce values. They produce behaviors that we can track, that we can recognize. And the question really then becomes, which of these two ways do you want to live? To help answer that question, we need to look at another way. These two viewpoints conflict with each other. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, or you only live once, basically puts yourself on the throne of your life. The YOLO perspective says what matters most is that I have this range of experiences, that I live on the edge, that I push the envelope, because I've only got so much time. But did you hear how many I's were in that statement? One of the main flaws with you only live once is how self-concerned and how self-centered it is. And of course it would be that way. You're trying to check off all the items on your list before it's too late. But who are you helping along the way? Well, it's not really a concern. I might do a few good things for someone else to make myself feel like I'm an okay person, but that's not really the focus of my life. And the real nightmare of this is where we all begin. It's human nature to put myself on the throne of my life. Something has to move me off that spot, or else you only live once, and the self-obsession that goes with it is going to sound pretty attractive to me. Thank God for the gospel, truly. Thank God for His Word and Holy Spirit, because it's that combination that dethrones us. It's God's Word and Holy Spirit that convinces you that there must be a better way to live than let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that better way is not centered on the self, but on another. It's centered on the Son of God. Jesus takes you completely off the throne of your life, and He does it because He loves you. He wants to bring you out of the misery of a self-absorbed life and the despair of you only live once. In order to actually accomplish that, He first gave His life as a sacrifice that would settle your account with God. See, the problem of self-centeredness and sinful pride would have to be dealt with. Its control over us would need to be broken, and we are not equipped to do it. So He did it. Jesus did. And when He suffered and died on the cross, and then rose again from death to a new kind of risen life, and in doing that, by defeating death's mastery over us, Jesus gives you and me a promise that is like rocket fuel for our souls. What we believe our future to be changes our present, right? So if I trust Jesus' promise, whoever lives and believes in me will never die, If I trust in Paul's words, in Christ, all will be made alive. The Word and Spirit are breaking through and putting Jesus on the throne of my life. And Jesus the King wants you to know you are eternal. The one thing we are afraid of most, death, has no claim on you. Jesus has covered you with His love and allowed you to share His risen life. You are never dead and done. Your life is all tied up in Jesus' resurrected forever life, and that's already started. That is phenomenal news, all on its own. But there are immediate and instant benefits to it as well. If you know your eternal future to be secure in Jesus' resurrection, that changes you in the present. That turns you inside out, so that grabbing as much as you can for yourself is no longer your motivation. You're looking outside yourself, and you're looking out with a radical kind of forgiveness, the likes of which we saw in today's reading from Genesis, Joseph and his brothers. Joseph, who have been sold into slavery by those brothers, is able to approach them with a forgiving heart. That's a miracle. And our connection to Jesus' risen life can give you that same sort of forgiving love. We're turned inside out and we can willingly endure difficulty and danger for the sake of other people, just as Paul did routinely. And he mentions that in verse 32 of his letter today. And we can even learn the countercultural value of loving our enemies. The art of being merciful, as Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 6. Now, those who are critical of Christianity sometimes say that our belief in eternal life and heaven makes us no earthly good. But do you understand? It actually makes us more helpful, more compassionate, more willing to do things that the world doesn't value at all. Because this life is not all there is. There is something more important than me checking things off my bucket list. There is a risen Savior on the throne of my life, on the throne of your life. Let Him pour His power into you. Let a future with Him change your present. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, I am flesh and must return to the dust once I am taken. But by faith I now discern that from death I shall awaken with my Savior to abide in His glory at His side. Lord, let this be my confidence. In Your name we pray. Amen.